Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Stebo. First of all, I just want to thank Tolani and Kate for just the opportunity to be able to preach the word today. Amen. But just like the scripture that Tolani read, you know, the church in Thessalonica was praised for a couple of things here. It says, remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Yeah. And that's what my charge is going to be about today. Yeah. So the title of my short charge, A Faith That Is Real. You know, think about it. Everyone claims to have faith.
That's true.
You know, so many claim to have it, but so few can actually prove it. You know, I think of even the words of Solomon himself. He says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? So many claim today that their faith is legit. You don't know how deeply passionate about God I am. I wish I could even show you my heart. You know, the Greek word for faith is pistis, which means to be persuaded, to come to trust. You know, it is in light of this that I have a question for us this morning.
Come on, bro, ask it.
Are you persuaded this morning? You know, I'm not talking about being persuaded by politics of the day.
Come on, bro, come on.
I'm not talking about being persuaded by your boss.
Hey.
I'm not talking about being persuaded with whether he or she's the one. But rather, are you persuaded that God has your best interest?
Come on, my brother, let's go.
Are you persuaded by what God says in his word?
Amen.
Are you persuaded by what he requires of you? Because, guess what? So many claim to have faith. So many claim that theirs is legit. The word faith is thrown around a lot today. You're told things like, hey, you know, have faith in yourself. Sometimes faith can also be used to just refer to organized religion. Oh, I'm Catholic. I'm Muslim. I'm that. Or positive thinking, positive vibes.
Talk about it.
You know, but I gotta ask you. The title of the church is A Faith That Is Real.
Come on, bro.
The question you gotta ask yourself this morning is your faith real? How do we know your faith is real? Is it because you say so? Hey, guys, my faith is real. Let's just believe that. Is it because you're the loudest one in the room? Is that why we should think your faith is real? Or maybe, what about this one? I'm the quiet, humble one, so my faith's got to be real.
Table's shaking everywhere.
Point number one. How do we know what a faith that's real looks like? Point number one, a faith that's real works. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. A faith that's real works. I don't know about you guys, but don't you guys just hate it when you buy something and then it doesn't work?
Guys.
Like maybe you've been saving for months. You're like, you saw this brand new headphones. You've been saving for them. You've been saving for a whole year. And then when you finally get the money, you're like, let me splash all this money and buy this and spoil myself. And then you actually get the object. You get the headphones and they don't work. Or maybe you even went to CBD where there is no refund. They're like, we don't take refunds here. But you're stuck with something that doesn't work. Isn't it frustrating?
Yes.
What about a faith that doesn't work? How do you think God feels about that? Faith, but there's nothing to show for it.
Hey.
Let me show you how he feels about this.
Come on,
go to Mark chapter 11.
This is it.
Let's go. Verse 12. It says, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season of figs. Jesus was so hungry, he was like, I need something to eat. Then he said to the tree, but he found nothing there, right? Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. Would you say Jesus was frustrated with the tree? Much more like how you can be frustrated by something that doesn't work.
That's true.
Because it looks like it's going to work. It looks green. It looks like it has life in it. But then when you go there, there's nothing to show for it. You know, real faith is more than just words. Why? Because I've heard it said, talk is cheap.
Yes.
Real faith is more than just feelings. Why? Because your feelings are always fluctuating. One minute you're high, one minute you're low, one minute you're medium. Real faith is more than intellectual theology. You know, for some, faith is an intellectual game. It's a theology to be studied and doctrine to be debated. They'll talk about God all day long without God actually impacting their lives. Mm.
Talk about it.
You know, but if you don't see the impact of this theological concept, then truly your faith means nothing. Mm. It really means nothing. Because I've heard it said, nobody cares ultimately about how much you say, but rather what you did with what you said. Mm. You know, we see this with politicians all the time. Every time when it's election, they promise you the world.
That's true. That's
when I become president, the shilling is going to be stronger than the US dollar. And then all you see is it just keeps rising. Next thing you're at 160. It's like, wait, I thought, because talk is cheap.
That's true.
Turn with me to James chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
Let's see what the Bible has to say here. A real faith is a faith that works.
Yes.
James chapter 2, verse 14. Says, what good is it, my brothers, if many claim to have faith, but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? The answer is no, it can't. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Now look at the verse 19. You believe that there is one God? Hey, good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone.
Wow.
You know, when you go to churches, this is what you hear. Faith alone. But the Bible says, you see, a person is not justified by faith alone.
That's right, preach.
You know, I think for us disciples, you got to realize here, you know, good doctrine simply puts you in the company of demons. You can say, I know the discipleship study. I know I need to seek God with all my heart. Well, if it just stays there, you're in the company of demons. Because I say that demons believe that too. Demons believe that. Actually, they more than believe. They know for a fact. Just because we believe the right things about God doesn't mean we have genuine faith. It doesn't mean that we have genuine faith that will stand when we stand before God. You know, that's what the Bible says, life and doctrine.
Right.
Watch your life and doctrine closely.
Yes.
Because then you'll be able to save yourself and your hearers.
That's right.
You know, doctrine alone is bound to make us Pharisees.
Wow.
I mean, the Pharisees knew all the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the law of Moses from back to end.
They did.
You know, I think we got to realize, as disciples, we are the ones in most danger of becoming Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because unlike the religious world who don't even know the truth, we do. We read our scriptures every day, don't we?
Yes.
We do the Bible studies every week, don't we?
Yes.
We're the most in danger of becoming Pharisees if we don't live them out.
Amen.
But the question you can ask yourself is, what should our faith as disciples drive us to?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, our faith should drive us to evangelism.
Tomorrow.
Again, you got to ask yourself, how has it been sharing your faith?
Mm-hmm.
You know, number two, our faith is supposed to inspire us to making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's our purpose as disciples, Mark chapter 1. Mm-hmm. You can ask, but why? Why does it have to be these specific things? Well, think about it. Because the word faith means to be persuaded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you really believe that everyone will stand before God
mm-hmm.
and give an account for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4.
Yeah.
If you really believe that. If you believe that hell is real. Luke 16, verse 19 to 31.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that unless people are made into baptized disciples of God, then they aren't right with God. Matthew 28.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be indifferent towards your neighbor who is not a disciple? I mean, if you really believe that, hey, hell is real. People are going to stand before God and give an account for their lives. And if they're not true baptized disciples, they're going to hell. If you actually believe that, why wouldn't you do something about it? It's like if you were the only one who had the cure to cancer,
mm-hmm.
would you be like, let me just keep this to myself? If you really believe what you have is the cure, would you be keeping it to yourself?
No.
I don't think you would. You'd be thinking, my family, my friends, my neighbor,
mm-hmm.
I gotta share this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you are persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
It's only if you don't really fully believe it that you'd be like, I don't think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with us as disciples.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't share our faith, it's because we aren't really persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't make disciples, we aren't really persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can be so careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as disciples, our faith is supposed to inspire us to work because we know what is at stake.
That's true.
We know what's at stake. But for our friends visiting, amen, you know, the Bible says even demons know about God. Yeah. You know, they can give all the right Sunday school answers. Yeah. Hey, how many people went into the ark? They can probably get that. Yeah. But they didn't actually have a faith that lived for God. Yeah. Are you living faithfully for God this morning if you're visiting with us? Who in your life is helping you live according to the Bible each and every day? Yeah. And who are you helping live like this? Because, I mean, if you're really persuaded by it, you should be helping other people to do the same thing too.
Talk about it.
So who's doing that? You see, it says the demons, yeah, they get it here. But their faith is dead because they actually won't live it out. Yeah. Is your faith dead this morning? You know, mere belief, had knowledge doesn't save you. It never saved anyone. Otherwise, the demons will be going to heaven too.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't make you a Christian, John chapter 8. A prayer a day doesn't make you a Christian either.
Hey.
Nor does it drive the devil away. I've seen this writing, a prayer a day keeps the devil away. No, it doesn't. A verse of the day doesn't cut it either. Oh, I get notifications on my phone about, this is the verse of the day, and I read it. No, that doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
Today, so many call themselves Christians, but don't even know what it means. Mm. Do you even know what it means to be a Christian?
Talk about it.
How different would you be from a demon if God were to evaluate your life? You know, it's like someone who claims to be a doctor, but absolutely has no clue about what it means to be a doctor. That's where a lot of people who call themselves Christians are. Hey, I'm a Christian. You don't even know what that means. You know, I know for me, being a Christian growing up was a boring thing. I could call myself a Christian. Yeah. It was boring because it was like show up to church, you know, sit 2 hours for the service, sing some songs, and then go home. Was that all? I thought that was all. And for me, it was very boring.
Wow.
Until I actually studied the Bible and I actually realized, actually, no. Being a Christian, according to the Bible, there is a purpose to it.
Wow.
Are you living out a purpose? Do you even know what the purpose of a Christian is?
Come on, talk about it.
You know, but that's what we see here. A faith that is real is a faith that works. A faith that doesn't do anything, just like it says in James 2 here, verse 26, is a dead faith.
Mm-hmm.
And a dead faith is a dead Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense why a dead Christianity would be boring.
Yeah.
It makes sense why it would be just show up here and there and you're fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that really all there is? Yeah, because that's not all there is. It's far from it. What has your faith done for you?
Wow.
Is your supposed faith dead? So that's point number one. A faith that's real is a faith that works.
Come on, bro.
But point number two, a faith that's real looks crazy to the world.
Talk about it.
You know, by definition, faith defies logic. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Imagine being assured about something you have never seen.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Like,
yeah.
You believe this thing, but you can't really, you don't even see it. But that's what it says faith is. And so it makes sense why a faith that is real will always look crazy to those who don't have it.
Yeah.
Let's look at examples of crazy faiths in the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Come on, bro. This is awesome stuff.
Hebrews chapter 11. Look at what we see here. We see a couple of people here from verse 9. These were men of faith who were recognized here in the Bible. Look what it says here in verse 7. By faith, when Noah warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Imagine this guy, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was just told, hey, a flood is coming. God told him a flood is coming.
Yep.
And this guy starts building an ark.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how crazy Noah must have seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy is going around talking about how there's large amounts of, they'd never seen a flood before.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew what that looked like.
Yeah.
And this guy is saying there's going to be rain coming down. It's going to wipe everything. This doesn't make sense. And he's gathering all these animals two by two.
Yep.
What is this guy doing? And he did that for 100 years.
Wow.
Imagine. Year one. Hey, guys, the flood is coming. One is a joke. By year 50, nobody even pays attention to you at all.
That's
but that's how crazy Noah seemed. Look at another one. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead.
Yeah.
This guy, too, was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you're like, you heard a voice that says, I want you to sacrifice your son. You're like, I know that voice is God. Let me do it. Son, come. And you're about to kill your own son. Imagine how crazy that would be to the world.
Yeah, crazy, bro.
That's how crazy Abraham looked to the world.
Wow.
That's how crazy. Even in verse 9, it says God told him to go to a place he had never seen. Yeah. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. He was just told, pack up and leave. I'll show you where you must go. And this guy packed everything and started leaving.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy. But you got to realize, you know, real faith goes beyond what is seen. And that's what makes it crazy. Everyone is looking here now. You are looking at something completely different. And people are like, you must be crazy. We're here trying to make life. You're here trying to make money. And you're thinking about something you don't, you can't even put anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about my life. You know, I'm like, man, you know, being a disciple and being a missionary. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can look at my life and think, yeah, this guy is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, graduated UCLA with double honors in actuarial science.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the expectation of that? Is the expectation like, oh, you're going to get a cranking job, build a mansion, build a kingdom for yourself. And then guess what? I became a...
I don't know if people are convicted already.
Table,
that was amazing, but good afternoon, friends and family.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, some people are not even answering. I don't know. You know, but please don't shoot the messenger. We're just mailmen.
Hey.
You know? But the message comes from God.
Right.
You know, I truly hope you're impacted. Because we're not here to be entertained. We're here to be impacted.
Come on, bro.
You know, my name is Carl, and I'm absolutely grateful for the privilege just to preach this morning. I'm so grateful to the Biodunes just for the opportunity. And the title of my charge is actually quite simple. Labor prompted by love. That's what we're going to be talking about. If we turn quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, of course, that's where we started from. But I want to pay attention to something interesting in that scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here it is. And I want to specifically focus on verse 6 and verse 7. So verse 6 says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy, with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Achaia. I'm sorry if I butchered that one. But you know, something interesting about what the Bible teaches here is that the church in Thessalonica was a model church.
Right.
What that basically means is you're looking around, you're like, I want to see a church that does it right. You looked at this church and you're like, oh, that's what I've got to do. And you know, one of the qualities that these guys had, like, that Tolani shared in chapter 2 and chapter 3, is their labor prompted by love. They are labor prompted by love. Now, in the dictionary, the word labor is either a noun or a verb. When you look at it from the point of a noun, it refers to practical work, especially one that involves hard physical labor or hard physical work. But it also refers to what a lady goes through before she gives birth. As a verb, it refers to doing hard physical work. That's all according to the Cambridge Dictionary. You know, and the Greek word that was translated into English to give us the word labor was the word kopos. And kopos means laborious or wearisome toil. You know, that kind of work where you get home and you don't have even the energy to eat and shower. You just fall on the bed and you're out. Right?
Come on, bro.
That is what we're talking about here. Basically, very hard work.
Let's go, bro.
The church in Thessalonica was very hardworking. The Christians in that church were very hardworking.
Come on.
And I know for all of us here, you know, we're quite familiar with the concept of hard work.
Yes.
Or at least we know what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, we might not be hardworking, but we know what it looks like, right? And if you're like me, you're probably not a fan of hard work, right?
Talk about it.
You wish things could come easy.
Yeah.
But there's a quote I came across that really, it talked about the reality that so many of us don't want to easily accept. It was by an author called Hamilton Holt, and he said, Holt.
Come on.
He said, nothing worthwhile comes easily. Half effort does not produce half results. It produces no results. Work, continuous work, and hard work is the only way to accomplish results that last. See, if you put in half the work, you would not get half a promotion. If you studied, half the book, you would not get 100%.
That's right.
You're equivalent to someone who did nothing.
Yeah.
And this church put in the work. But we want to understand, because I assume we all want to be model Christians.
Yeah.
We want to be the kind of people who stand up and people say, if I want to know about Christianity, that's the lady I'm speaking to. That's the guy I'm speaking to. And so we want to learn from this church. How do we become model Christians? I have two simple points and they're in form of questions.
Come on,
the first question is, what did they labor for?
Come on.
You know, the church in Thessalonica, Did they labor to establish a Fortune 500 company? No. Did they labor to become top bosses in their career?
Nope.
Were they working hard to be the top of their class if they were students?
Preach it.
You know, well, the answer requires a bit of a simple Bible study, and that Bible study is found in verse 6 and verse 7 that we've read. The Bible tells us that they became imitators of their leaders and of the Lord. The answer to our question is found in what their role models labored for. If we want to know what they labored for, then we must know what Paul labored for. We must know what Jesus labored for. And it will help us understand what we should labor for. You know, for Jesus, it's quite simple. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it tells us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So he labored to save souls. For Paul, firstly, he too labored to save souls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 28, he talks about the hardship he endured to spread the gospel. And secondly, he labored for the salvation, for his own salvation. So just like Jesus, he labored for the salvation of others. And then he also labored for his own salvation. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, he talks about his own personal battle to remain faithful to God through self-discipline. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he tells the disciples in the church to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. You know, a model Christian labors for their relationship with God and for the relationship for other people's relationships with God.
Come on, talk about it.
But is your relationship with God today something other people can look up to? If you think about it, is it admirable? We've just looked at the book of Ecclesiastes that tells us people labor a lot for things that are meaningless. People put in the hours for work. People put in hours for school. People put in the hours for gym. People put in the hours for relationship with a lady or a guy. But when it comes to God, it's like, I think it should just come naturally. You see, one of the things that I have come to notice is our relationship with God is not a talent. It won't just come naturally. We've got to work for it. Right? The only thing that we should, the one thing that we should truly focus on working hard for is for the salvation of our souls.
Yes.
But also for the salvation of other people's souls.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying don't work well. I'm not saying don't study well. No, you have to do those things well.
Preach
but when
it.
You die, you leave all those things behind.
Mm.
But my question for you is, what do you labor for? What is the thing in your life that you work so hard for?
Mm.
Is it your relationship with God? I think about my own life. In the past, I used to labor for work. In my second year of university, I wanted to drop out. So I come from Uganda, and I studied, and we got into COVID, and I started a business, and it was taking off. And I didn't see the point of me being in school.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to work and get a lot of money and graduate and retire at a very young age.
Come on.
But then I was like, you know what? Let me labor hard to get that money. And for us today, some of us, we labor hard for money.
That's right.
We also labor for sin. I'm standing before you speaking about God because I came from a life that was absolutely sinful.
Yeah.
I worked hard to sin.
Come on.
I traveled long distances, spent a lot of money, and made a lot of bad decisions for sin. Going to the club and drinking, traveling long distances just to go and be sexually immoral with a girl.
Come on, talk about it.
And I would not travel those long distances to church.
No.
No, if the church is too far, I'm sorry, you'll catch me next time.
Yeah.
When you have an event that's closer, let me know. Right? But for now, when it came to sin, it wasn't hard for me to labor for sin.
Yeah.
But do you labor for your relationship with God today?
Wow.
If it's a Bible study, because guys, it's not easy to walk right with God.
Yeah.
You have to make decisions that are, you know, they're not comfortable to make.
Mm.
But do you labor for your relationship with God? Are you willing to sit through that uncomfortable Bible study where they're asking you questions and you're like, it's not comfortable? Are you willing to read your Bible in the morning consistently? Are you willing to have honest prayer with God? Are you willing to attend church services? Are you willing to journal through your emotions? Are you willing to fall down and get back up and start over again? But you also labor for other people's relationships with God. You see, in all honesty, take a moment to consider the questions that are being asked. Because these are not questions about willingness. These are questions about action.
Come on, bro.
Willingness is meaningless if it is not followed by action. You may want to do something, but merely wanting to do it doesn't mean you've attained it.
Yeah.
In a world filled with a forest of words, actions distinguish truth from falsehood. But have you been putting in the effort? Have you worked hard for your relationship with God? Have you labored for it? You see, just because we grew up in Christian backgrounds doesn't mean we're Christians. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God.
Talk about it!
If you know someone, you have a relationship with them. If you know about someone, you just know them. It's like me and Beyonce. Right? I know about Beyonce, but I don't know Beyonce. Right?
That's true.
And so that's what it's like. Is God's relation? Is your relationship with God like my relationship with Beyonce?
Wow.
Yeah, no,
wow.
Let's actually think about it.
Wow. Come on, bro.
That's it.
Or are you actually pushing for a genuine relationship with God?
Oh,
you see, it's strange to even think that we have to do this for other people. But if you think about Jesus, when he called his first disciples, he said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you come to follow me, you better believe you're going to have to go out and make more people follow me.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his followers, go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about you.
Mm-hmm.
But the question today is, have you been putting in the effort?
Come on.
What did they labor for? They labored for their relationship with God and other people's relationship with God. My second point is, why did they labor?
Wow.
You know, it's quite simple. They labored because of love.
Wow.
Love for God and love for God's people.
Mm.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7 to 10, Paul understood and appreciated God's grace, and it pushed him to work hard to save souls.
Mm.
He went from a persecutor to a combatant.
Mm.
And the Bible said he was the hardest worker. Hardest.
Come on.
But why? He appreciated what God had done for him.
Mm.
You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died.
Mm.
But the question I have for you is, does Christ's love compel you to work on your relationship with God and also help others?
Wow.
Or is it meaningless?
Come on, talk about it.
Does your love for God compel you to labor for him?
Mm-hmm.
When you think of all he has done for you, oh my gosh, it's like, what God has done for me, let me work hard for God.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, I think about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you see me standing before here, before you opening a Bible?
Come on.
Wow.
Look for me 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You probably find me drunk or with a hangover on Sunday morning.
Come on, talk about it.
I lived the kind of life where I was religious. I went to church and I was a youth leader. And I remember one particular moment standing on a pulpit and telling young people they should avoid sexual immorality. Yet 4 days ago, I had been sleeping with a girl.
Come on, bro. Lay it out.
And when I think about what God saved me from,
mm.
So many hospital visits, and I'm like, it's today the time I'm getting HIV.
Mm.
You know. And so when I think about what God has done for me, it compels me to work hard. It's like a child wanting to repay a family member or a parent who has done so much for them.
Mm-hmm.
But does God's love for you inspire you to labor for him?
Mm-hmm.
Are we fighting hard even to labor for others?
Come on.
You see, it's very easy to labor, but even not for love. Mm-hmm. See, the why matters. Because mm-hmm. If the why is good, you'll make it to the end. But if the why is bad, you'll stop halfway.
Mm-hmm.
If it's genuine love, then you work hard. You'll go through the hurdles. You'll go through the hardships to make sure you're in the right place with God. And it's easy. It's very easy to get into a place where it's like, I'm going to church, I'm singing songs, I'm showing up, but there's no love.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just doing this because this is the routine.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it because it's the routine, you'll give up.
Mm-hmm.
You'll definitely give up.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself this question. Why did Jesus stay on the cross?
Turn
with me to Matthew chapter 27.
Come on, bro.
This is great.
Because I could have never been Jesus.
Mm.
Never. Because when what happened in Matthew 27 happened, if I were Jesus, I would have jumped off that cross.
Right.
And they would have known
that
this is God.
Come on, bro, lay it out.
Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. I'll be reading from verse 38. It says, from Matthew chapter 27, from verse 38, it says, two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their head and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple, build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him heaped insults on him. You see, Jesus stayed on the cross. He was dying for these people. And here they are saying all these hurtful things. I can imagine what he was going through. He was not happy. He was not pleased. It was hard. But why did he go through that hard work? Why did he go through that labor? See, Jesus stayed on the cross because of love. He had so many reasons to get down from it, but he stayed on. For us who are seated here today, are you a model Christian? Do you labor for your relationship with God? Do you labor to help other people build their relationship with God? See, the fact that you're here today, if we were to ask where some people come from, you give us places that are far. You say, I came from Umoja, I came from Utawala, I came from Kasarani, I came from Thika, I came from this and this and that. It was not a mistake.
That's right.
God specifically wanted you here today to hear what this message is.
Come on, you know, talk about it.
And I believe God brought you here for a reason.
Come on, bro.
Maybe it's a reason to evaluate your relationship. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're here is a sign that God wants you to labor for a relationship with him. I want to leave you with this challenge. Choose to labor. Speak to whoever invited you and start studying the Bible to have a relationship with God. For those who are already studying, get committed. And labor to the end.
Amen.
Get in there and push through. Because nothing worth having comes easy. Let all that God has done for you and that love that he has shown you prompt you to labor. Thank you, and to God be the glory.
Amen, family.
Amen.
And it was amazing just to see our young brothers here. Table. Amen. You know, there's a joke out there. There's a joke I want to start with. It's, you know, the Bible says in Joel, I think 2:28, yeah? Mm-hmm. In the last days, the Lord will pour his spirit on young men and sons and daughters, yeah? And the old men shall dream, yeah? And the young men shall see vision, yeah? So if you're old, I hope you're not literally sleeping and dreaming. Amen, family? Ah, but it's amazing. Yeah, I thought of it. Amen, family?
Amen.
Yeah, but it's amazing to see all of you here, yeah? And today, a storyline has read out from the book of 1 Thessalonians 1, from verse 1 to 3, yeah? We see just the church of Thessalonica were an example in something, yeah?
Amen.
You know, when Paul was there in Acts 17, yeah? When he was in Thessalonica, he said that, and he went to Berea, he said that the Jews in Berea are of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, yeah? Now, when you see the church in Thessalonica here being spoken about, yeah, being great examples, I'm like, there's something we can imitate from them, yeah?
Right.
Yeah, not those ones who are before Paul was in Berea. Amen, family?
Amen.
And today my church is endurance inspired by hope in Christ, yeah?
Amen.
And you have seen the things that the church of Thessalonica were just a great example in, and they've been preached here before with Table and also Carl preach about it, yeah? And I'll be preaching in the end part, which is endurance inspired by hope in Christ Jesus. Amen, family?
Amen.
And you see here, the church in Thessalonica had to endure through hardships, yeah?
Yes.
And I believe this, the church in Thessalonica, where people were living a godly life. Amen,
yeah.
Family? Because when you look at your Bible in 2 Timothy verse, chapter 3, verse 12, yeah?
Come on, bro.
It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Amen, family?
Amen.
So there's no way you can be seated here and you're saying that you're living a godly life and you're not undergoing challenges in life. Amen, family?
Amen.
That is your own Christianity and not biblical Christianity.
Bravo,
yeah. Because if you are living a godly life, you'll face challenges, yeah?
Yeah.
And during those challenges, you'll have to endure them, yeah?
That's
but
right.
What will make you endure? Yeah, what will make you endure? And when you look at 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, you'll endure, their endurance was inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So their hope in the Lord, in Jesus Christ is what made them endure. Amen, family?
Amen.
So, no, they're not your hope. You know, we may have different hopes, yeah? Sometimes we hope in our jobs. We have hopes in our jobs. We have hopes in our parents, yeah? We have hopes in, the, you know, even our education, family, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But this will not enable us to endure our Christian life. Amen, family?
Yeah.
And when you go just to the book of Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, yeah? What should be our attitude towards challenges? And the Bible says, are you there? Romans 5, 3 to 5. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Amen, family?
Mm-hmm.
So when you undergo suffering, are you rejoicing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you moody there? You're like, I'm suffering too much, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, yeah? So as Christians, when we undergo challenges, yeah, this challenges us to mold our characters, yeah? And that when our characters are molded, yeah, we become more hopeful in God. Amen, family? And you know, when it comes to endurance, when you're enduring through something, things are tough, yeah? You not be enduring through good situations, yeah?
That's
yeah? If you're married, yeah, I don't think you'll hear a married guy say, a married man saying that, I'm enduring my good Proverbs 31 wife, yeah? No. Yeah. You can't do that, yeah? And if you're a married woman, you won't say, I'm enduring my caring husband. Or maybe you're working there and you're like, hey, this job of mine, I have 6-figure salary, I'm enduring it. At the end of the month, I'm really enduring, yeah? Yeah? Or you're a student over here, yeah, you've done your exams, it was easy, you got an extension, and you're like, hey, I endured through these easy exams. No, when the endurance is being mentioned, things are strenuous, yeah? Even when you're eating your favorite food, yeah? You won't endure through it. You'll be enjoying it. Yeah, you know, I love my baked potatoes with grilled chicken over there with passion juice. That one, I take it down, yeah? I don't endure it. I enjoy it, yeah? But Christianity, yeah, you'll have to endure, family, yeah? You'll have to endure. And I come to my first point, that hope in the midst of suffering, yeah? And as you have seen through the initial scripture, that as Christians, we'll undergo sufferings, amen? We shall be persecuted, yeah? But we have to have hope in times of suffering, yo? Just as the church in Thessalonica had hope, they endured in Christ Jesus. Amen, family?
Amen.
And I remember personally, for me, I got the opportunity. Yeah, I'm 25, so I'm young.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm young. You know, a young gun Sunday, yeah. I got the chance to go to Moscow to just study, yeah. To study my dream course, and that was aeronautical engineering. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to do this thing, and God opened the way, yeah. And apart from that, even God opened a chance for me to go and study the Bible, yeah. In our Moscow church over here. And it was a very great opportunity for me, yeah, because I came to understand what this hope in Christ Jesus is, yeah, because, you know, people are enduring through things that do not have a result, yeah, people are just going through tough moments, yeah, but they don't know about this hope in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And I'm really grateful to God that I got to go and get that opportunity just to study the Bible in our church and be able to understand this hope in Christ Jesus. Amen, family?
Yeah.
And when I came back, you know, I was raised in a religious family, yeah, my dad is a pastor, my mom is that typical African woman. You know, if you don't, if it's Sunday morning and you don't want to go to church, the muiko, the slippers, you'll absolutely go to church on that Sunday morning. And that was the kind of family that I grew up, amen? And in the end, for 18 years, I was just living a religious life, I can say that. Because I got to study the Bible when I was 18 years old. And after just studying the Bible, I came to understand, I'm not a Christian, guys. It was tough. You know, in the Good News Network, we saw our brother said he also, it was tough for him when he go to this. it was also tough for me, yeah, just to see this. But I had to make the decision to make things right, yeah, and just live a godly life, yeah, according to the Bible, yeah. And when I finished my education in 2021 and I had to come back to Kenya, yeah, and my goal was not to come to Kenya, yeah, it was just to come here, greet you guys, and I'll be praying for you guys when I'm there. You know, there's that phrase, guys, I'll be praying for you. Let me just go. I'll be praying for you. Yeah, that was my goal, yeah. But God had different plans for me, yeah? God is the one who determines ourselves, guys, yeah? So you might be having your plans over here, but present them to God. Amen, family? And in the end, I'm here with you guys. And I'm really grateful for that, yeah? And but standing here, it has not been an easy journey for me, yeah.
No.
You know, when I came in 2021, we didn't have a church in Nairobi, Kenya.
Mm.
And the church in Nairobi, Kenya was planted in 2023. Mm. So I was 2 years without a church, yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't want to go to the churches where I've been raised from in, because growing there for 18 years, I saw there's no light.
Yes.
And I had to hold to the light. There's no way I could compromise my salvation, yeah, for something
come on,
that is not legit. And this brought a lot of persecution personally for me, from family, from a lot, mostly because, you know, it was COVID times. And in COVID times, you're at home. Yeah, Sunday, you're not going out. Yeah, Sunday, I was just tuning into my laptop over there, Zoom. And, you know, sometimes my dad would come to my room and he's like, this church of yours that is in the laptop, when is it coming? You know, it hurt you, yeah? And the fact that there were some religious events that their church had organized here, and I didn't want to go there. For my mom, you know, now I'm old, she can't beat me up to go to church. Now we have to talk. Yeah, but I was like, nah, I can't go back, yeah, because there's no light there, there's no truth there. And it also brought some persecution, like imminent. Yeah, you don't know your parents until it comes to the Bible, and you're standing up there. Yeah, yeah, because I saw my mom, you know. Ah, my mom one day got an accident and she told me that I'm the one who caused it because of my heart. And I was like, hey, amen. That hurts when you have something from such a word from your mom. Somebody who you believe she cares for you, amen?
Yeah.
And I had to endure through this, yeah? But in the end, this was to build my character, yeah?
Come on, bro!
That will ensure that I put God above family.
Come on!
Because when I was in Moscow, there's no way I could learn that, yeah? Because family was far away, yeah? And I wanted to go to America. Family will still be far away.
Come on!
Yeah, but God ensured that I get to learn about this, yeah? And in the end, I got to learn about this. And in the end, because I stood my ground, yeah? Because I saw the truth, yeah?
Yeah.
I saw this hope in Christ Jesus that enabled me to endure through this hardship. Yeah. Amen for me.
Yeah.
So I hope also you, yeah. You know about this hope. Amen, family. Yeah. I hope you know about this hope. And if you don't know about it, yeah, get the chance to study the Bible with whoever invited you. So that
come
in
on,
the
bro.
End, you may have a hope. You may have to hope. May have hope in terms of suffering. Amen.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have this hope, when you're suffering, you'll go down. Amen, family.
Yeah.
And to my second and final point is hope. Only springs from God's word. Amen, family?
Amen.
And let's turn our Bible to the book of Romans 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4.
Let's go. This is great. Come
and it
on.
Says, Romans 15, 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Yeah?
Amen.
So this hope we have it through endurance taught in scriptures,
yeah.
And encouragement that comes through the same scriptures. Yeah,
right.
Here it shows us that the Bible has told us we'll be when you're living a godly life, you'll definitely be persecuted. Yeah,
that's true.
And for you to know how to overcome, for you to know how to fight through this persecution, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You have to get encouragement through the word. Amen.
That's right.
And that means you have to be reading your Bible. You have to be studying the Bible. Yeah, from
Come on. Is
where you'll find this endurance that is taught. Yeah, and encouragement. Yeah. And as I said, I'm really grateful to God that I got to study the Bible
Woo!
When I was in Moscow and came back. And when I was here alone, the thing that kept me with us was the Bible, my personal times with God, yeah? Because I didn't have the physical church, yeah? And but every day it was just a matter of being reading the Bible and just building my relationship with
Amen.
God, yeah?
Amen.
And even not during the, even initially, the curtains that I had, yeah, just going through scriptures. It enabled me just face when times were tough. Just go back to scriptures and get encouragement from it. And,
amen,
family.
Amen.
And we'll definitely amass your face challenges, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Not living a godly life, if not living as a Christian, but also outside the world, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible has solutions to all this, yeah?
Nice.
The Bible has encouragement to all this. Amen, family.
Amen.
And if you're here, I just want to encourage you and your guests, just study the Bible, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that you might, first of all, know how to study your Bible, yeah?
Amen.
Because you will not study your Bible if you don't know how to do it, yeah?
Yeah.
No, it's not a matter of waking up in the morning and reading the verse of the day.
Mm.
No.
Yes.
You have to go deep.
Come on.
Yes.
Into studying the Bible. Amen, family?
Amen.
And one interesting thing you have to know that hope, about hope, when you read, yeah, let me go. Amen, amen. About hope, yeah? When you go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, if you start from 9 to 13, yeah?
Mm.
The Bible speaks about completion that will come, yeah?
Yes.
And that completion is the word of God, yeah?
Right.
And in the
yes.
end, what will remain? It says three things will remain, yeah?
That's true.
You know, in Family Farm Night, you had something here, it said that, and only these two will remain. And people are, yeah, it says three things will remain in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. That is faith, love, and hope.
That's
yeah
good.
And these are the three things that will remain till now, yeah.
Mm.
And interestingly, yeah, for you to have faith and hope, faith and love spring from hope, from
yeah.
And if you go to Colossians 1:3-5, Colossians 1:3-5, this is my last scripture as I close out.
Come on, bro.
It says,
this is great stuff.
Colossians 1:3-5, it says, we all thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of
the gospel. Amen, family?
Amen.
And my last point was hope springs from the word of God. Yeah. And even if you look at this scripture, the end part, it says that hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Wow. Yeah? You see, scripture is also bringing it. Yeah. It's nailing it down. Yeah. And here we see that faith and love springs up from hope.
Yeah.
So if you don't have hope, there's no way you'll have your faith.
Yeah.
There's no way you love. Yeah. So you have to have hope. And hope in what? Not hope in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Not hope in your finances, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Not hope in what? Hope in the government, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But hope in Jesus Christ. Amen, family?
Amen.
And with that, as we leave here, I just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us has hope in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And if you don't know how to do it, just go forward and study the Bible, and to God be all the glory.